We just pray that you'll be with us and guide us, Lord, and just pray that this will be a blessing to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up to this point, we've had a lot of rich things taking place, and it's going to continue. We're going to be, and I think it's chapter 10 it is, next chapter, we're going to be taking a look at angelic warfare. What's going on in the angel world behind the scenes? We don't see it. It's amazing what's taking place up there. And anyway, it's just, and there's, we're going to really delve in the depths of the study of the Antichrist. There's a lot more of that to come, a lot more depth. We're going to take a look. Daniel's prophesying, and what he has prophesied, a lot of that took place during this 400 years when there's nothing biblical being written, and the history that was taking place during that time, and just in the Bible, I mean, he's predicting things going to happen in the future, and I mean exactly to the letter. And it's this part of this, we're going to go into that, but it's, the Bible critics have said there's absolutely no way that anybody could have written this before the book of Daniel. You know, somebody, after all the events took place, and somebody had to come along later and just simply copy down history exactly the way it was, and that's what happened, and they will not believe that Daniel was able to predict this in the future. They discount it. And it's this portion here where really the Bible's criticized. But they do not believe in God. They do not believe in miracles. They do not believe, you know, if you reject God, this is so accurate. I mean, right down to the dots. And the, anyway, that's coming. And to me, it's exciting. It just, again, it just reconfirms in my mind this Bible's real and it's true. We got some exciting stuff coming ahead, folks. So anyway. Okay, to start off with, we're not going to backtrack hardly at all, maybe just a tiny bit. We have some people that have been gone for so long, they're like visitors back. Welcome back, Jansons. So they've been playing hooky here. They've been traveling the world, actually, I think. So anyway, let's go ahead and begin. Okay, we've already read verse 24, and it talks about, verse 24, the angel's telling Daniel in prophecy that 70 weeks are determined upon your people. In other words, there's going to be 70 years of prophecy here. And during these 70 weeks of time, which is 470 weeks of years, in other words, 70 times 7 is 490 years. There's a prophetic calendar, God's prophetic calendar, 490 years where, and there's six things listed in verse 24, things that's going to happen. And it begins during Daniel's time, and it ends at the end of the tribulation. I mean, it goes through the rest of history. All this is going to take place in verse 24. We've been through that. And exciting things that's going to happen. And so I'd like to pick it up this morning. And we're probably going to just try to cover verse 26 this morning. But let's read verses 25 and 26. We pretty well covered 25 last week. But let's go ahead and read those two verses, and that's probably as far as we're going to get this morning. But anyway, who would read 25 and 26 for us this morning? Kathy? Okay, now I'd like to go and sit down and have somebody else come up and explain all this to us, what this means. So who would volunteer? Okay, so Folk, and this is understandable. It really is. Anyway, it is if you have godly scholars that have gone before you that's paved the way and figured it all out so I can simply parrot their words is what it boils down to. Okay, so last week we talked about, in verse 25 there, it says, "Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem." That command, that started God's time clock ticking. Okay? At that point, the command to restore and to build Jerusalem. And it talks about, and the walls, the walls shall be built, or the streets shall be built, and even the wall, even in troublesome times. And we studied that there was four different decrees given to send the Jews back to Jerusalem. Four of them. One by Cyrus, one by Darius, and two by Artaxerxes. And there's only one of them started God's timetable ticking. And that was the second decree of Artaxerxes we found in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. That was the second decree. That's the one. Because they all had a different starting date, and they all would also end up with a different ending date, because it talks about there's going to be, we're talking here about these 7 weeks right here. The 7 weeks, that is to, for the time to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls, and the temple. And that didn't take place till Nehemiah's time when it finally got finished. So last week, we basically finished, if I get the right button here. Okay. So last week, we covered this, the decree of Artaxerxes in the book of Nehemiah was given in 445 B.C. That's when it was given. And then 7 weeks of years, which would be 49 years, 7 times 7. So in other words, at the end of 49 years, the temple would be rebuilt according to the Bible. That's exactly what took place. Exactly. 49 years, the temple was completed in 396 B.C., the word of God prophesied became true. And now we're getting ready to move into verse 26. And there is no gap of time between here to start this one here. You notice there's other places we have a little gap of time there. There's one there. There's one there. And anyway, there's actually another one there. But, so, the temple was rebuilt. All this stuff was taken care of in 396 B.C. 396 B.C. is a crucial time. Not only the time they completed the city, but it was also the time when the New Testament canon was completed as well. Now, I'm not saying that it all happened at the same date. You know, I'm not saying that. But it was during that period of time that the canon of Scripture was done as well. That's when it stopped. It's as if God establishes people in their land. Okay, they're back in their land, some of them, not all of them, some of them. It's as if God establishes people in their land, God establishes city, God establishes temple, and God establishes word. The Old Testament. And from there till the coming of John the Baptist, there was no prophet. It was the Bible is silent. There's nothing coming on there. And so now we've covered the first 49 years, and then in verse 26, it says, and beginning in verse 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks, or 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." I'm just going to stop there because we're a lot of stuff here to cover. So basically, we're getting ready now to start from there we go. We're getting ready to start here, and now we're going to talk about these 62 weeks here. 434 years, which is going to complete a total of the 69 weeks, leaving 1 week. It said there's going to be 70 weeks. It's going to leave this 1 week hanging right here. That doesn't come till later. So from 445 BC, we have 69 weeks of years, which is 483 years. And if you take that and you multiply that times a 360-day calendar year, that is the calendar year that they used back in those days, it comes out to be 173,880 days. Now, I told you I was going to quiz you on that number this morning, and I forgot to. I'm sorry. I apologize. So we're dealing with 173,880 days from the decree of Artaxerxes in 445 BC to the coming of Messiah the Prince. The Messiah will come. Okay, that was a repeat. Now, unto Messiah the Prince is a very interesting phrase. And it's a phrase that carries with it a very official terminology. It means like the anointed one, the prince, the ruler. It is a very official term. The coming of the prince. It's not the birth of Christ we're looking at. It's not the baptism of Christ we're looking for. It's a presentation of Christ as the prince, the Messiah. And that happened on the triumphal entry on that day. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a minute. And so God is telling Daniel through Gabriel the exact time Jesus Christ will be here in the world presenting himself as the Messiah. God told Daniel the very day Christ would enter the city of Jerusalem. And what were the Jews saying on the day that they entered Jerusalem? Right here, on the triumphal entry. At that point, right there before the cross. What were they shouting?
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Exactly. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And I just copied down some of the quotes. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the kingdom of David. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, blessed is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. I mean, they're excited. At this particular moment is Christ's pinnacle of his ministry. He is at the highest point. Things are going to deteriorate real quick after that. And as we're looking at that, let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to take a look at this. Luke chapter 19, and we'll read verses 36 through 44. 36 through 44. And, whoops, I'm on the wrong page here. Okay, 36 through 44. Who would read those for us, please? Okay, Lori. Lori got us first there. Luke 19, 36 through 44. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Okay. Folks, this is immediately following the triumphal entry. It just keeps right on going. You know, we talked about the triumphal entry, and then they come, and Jesus weeps over the city. Okay? Read verse 42 again, it says here, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at the least in this thy day, it says, this is your day, the things which belong, and my eyes have been bugging me here lately, folks, and I'm having trouble reading. Okay, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. Jesus says, the things that are happening today are hid from your eyes. If you would have known in this thy day, this was their day. Christ presented himself as the Messiah, the things that make for peace. But they missed it. It was hidden from their eyes. And Jesus says, your enemies will level you to the ground and will not leave one stone upon another. The question, why? The answer is given in verse 44. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This is the time of your visitation, the triumphal entry. I'm here presenting myself to you as your Messiah, as your King, but you're going to miss it. You should have recognized that this is your time. You should have known. This is your special time of visitation from your prince, the one who will bring you peace. You should have known from Daniel chapter 9, is basically what he's saying. You should have known from Daniel chapter 9, where you were given precise chronology as to when your king was to present himself. But they missed it. You should have known, but you missed it. They're rejoicing. But they were rejoicing, looking for the wrong things. Question. Now that Christ is here, the Messiah is here, what were they expecting him to do?
Well, they were expecting a military king because of him coming from the root of David, because of how David was, first of all, to take care of the Romans. And that's the other part there in Daniel, where it says the people of the prince to come. You're talking about the Romans, who not only took over, all of Israel, but most of the Middle East and stuff there at that time. So they expected when the Messiah would come to be this military king, to come riding in on a white stallion and to lead them in a military revolt, just like the Maccabees did back in 167 BC. But that's what they missed was what the scriptures say in Psalms and Isaiah and Jeremiah. The fact that the first time he would come in, he'd be running on the colt of an ass, which is what he did here in Jerusalem, and they built that.
You're exactly right. They were expecting him to restore the kingdom back to Israel. You know, he's come, he's our military ruler. You know, and we've been under Gentile domination all this time. We're sick and tired of it. The Messiah's come. He's going to restore the kingdom back to Israel, and we're going to live happily ever after. And that's what they were excited about. And so you're absolutely right, Bill. In fact, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to take a look at that. Acts chapter 1, and Bill, you had your hand up the last time. Would you read verses 6 and 7 for us, please?
Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his authority.
Okay. There it is. Lord, will you restore the kingdom at this time? They're excited. That is what they're thinking Christ is here for. And Christ said, that's not for you to know. And then, don't turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And again, here's the thinking of these people at this time. This is Paul speaking, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. They were expecting Christ to go into the millennial. I mean, it's all this stuff's going together. They're thinking, we're at the end. And we're going to be, Paul is expecting in his lifetime to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. He's expecting. That's what they're looking at. Okay? This is important. At this particular point, at the triumphal entry, God's time prophetic clock stops. So, we have the triumphal entry right here, right at the end of this long line here. His prophetic clock stops and will not start up again until we get over to here. The beginning of the tribulation. Okay. Another author elaborated here, and this is interesting. Back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there was a Scotland Yard detective named Sir Robert Anderson. He was a devout Christian and a detective, and he was a detailed person as a detective, and he liked to track things down and try to solve mysteries. That was his profession. That was his heartbeat. He liked to do that. And so he decided to try and figure all this out, the time into the 69 weeks, the 483 years, which we've been covering here. That's 69 weeks there. He decided to figure it out. This is all very complex for several reasons. He had a lot of stuff to deal with here. First of all, he had to figure out the time difference between the ancient calendar system and the modern calendar system, you know, trying to back it all out. Ancient people figured years out different than we do today. We've already talked about that. Their prophetic year was 360 days, not the 365 and a quarter days we have today. So back then, they didn't have leap days, or leap years, I mean. They had leap months. They had to, I mean, their calendar was so far off, every day you'd have to throw in a whole month to correct it. And so he had to figure it, and this was common practice, just like we have a leap year, they had a leap month. And so he had to figure the time gap between B.C. and A.D., which is another situation, and he concluded that it was on April, in the month of April in 32 A.D., that Messiah, Jesus Christ, presented himself to Israel as their prince, their king. So he concluded that in April of 32 A.D. was the day of the triumphal entry. Figuring out this 173,880 days or whatever it was. He calculated it all out, used all, you know, throwing all these different factors. And he concluded it was in April of 32 A.D. that Messiah, Jesus Christ, presented himself to Israel as their prince, their king. Historical records also tell us that Christ was crucified, you know, in the same month, in April of 32 A.D. Historians record that he was crucified in that same month. And so it shows there's a five-day period of time. And they say that the triumphal entry and the crucifixion, according to historical records, shows it was 32 A.D. And again, we kind of went through the A.D., thing last time, B.C., A.D., and I learned a lot there because I didn't understand it. You guys taught me last Sunday, so thank you. This, I have wrestled with this as to whether I was going to mention this morning or not. I've been on, off. I'm going to go, this is one author's opinion, and I'm going to skip it because I'm not comfortable with it, and it's here, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to skip over that, and I shouldn't. I told Nancy last night. I said I'm going to scratch this, and I'm not comfortable with it, and I don't want to say something that could be wrong. I think it's a stretch, trying to make things fit together. Skip down through here. Okay, Jesus was probably baptized and began his public ministry in the fall of 28 A.D. Now, we're going through the historical records here and stuff like that. And we know that Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. So In the fall of 28 AD would be when he began his ministry. If he ministered for 3.5 years, after 3 years would be the fall of 31 AD. So from 28, 3 years later, AD, 31 AD, and then another half a year beyond that point would be the spring of 32 AD. And this has been recorded. And basically, this all fits in with the dates of the triumphal entry being 32 AD. This stuff is very complicated, folks, and I just, like I say, I've wrestled and I've tried to struggle with it, but it seems like everything seems to be convergent. Even historical records show that it was 32 AD when Christ, the triumphal entry and the crucifixion. Now, we're saying 32 AD, but Christ was 33 and a half years old. And again, we mentioned last Sunday, in Jewish times, back in that time, I don't know if they still do or not, but they consider your birthday is your date of conception. And do they still do that today? I don't know. What? Greek author, they still do? Yeah?
We got one problem. This is right in Scripture. It says Luke 3:23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age.
Okay.
So with the historical documents and stuff, they're off because, first of all, the AD, BC, before Christ, AD,
We went through that. And okay, you just went way over my head. Okay, anyway, this guy's saying, okay, if they did use the 9 months, or the date of conception is birth, 32 AD, you'd actually be 9 months old when you were born. And so if you add 9 months onto 32 AD, it comes out 33 and a half, roughly. So, all right, let's just skip on over that, because like I say, it's way too deep for this boy. So, okay. In 300 AD, there was a prominent church bishop named Epiphanes on the Isle of Cyprus. And he wrote writings about the life of Jesus. And in his recordings, he wrote in his writings that Jesus was baptized in November of 28 AD, and he was crucified in the spring of 32 AD. He wrote that in his writings. His writings can be purchased today. So again, that's one guy's, but he wrote the historical record of it. And things seem to coincide that it all happened about that time. And I think I better leave it at that, because it's obvious I've said all I know. Okay, let's move on. The chronology of the New Testament agrees exactly with Daniel. There were 7 weeks or 49 years to rebuild the temple, the city, and the walls of Jerusalem. That's been established. The command in Nehemiah 2. The temple is completed in 396 BC, exactly 49 years later. 62 weeks, 434 years after that Christ's triumphal entry. Remember, at this point, God's prophetic timetable stops. It was typical in the prophecies in the Old Testament to have lapses of time between one segment and another. And we've already seen that. We already looked last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, but we looked at Isaiah 9:6, which says, "For unto us a child is born," talking about his first coming, "while the second part, the government shall be upon his shoulder," talking about the second coming. It's all talking about the same thing in the same verse, but there's no indication of any gap of time. They missed the gap of time. The evidence, and the evidence for this is, if there was no gap, you know, at the end of 32 AD, then all this stuff would have ended in 39 AD, 7 years later. We still have the 7 years to go there during the tribulation period. And so if you would have just directly followed that with no gap of time, this thing would all been over with in 39 AD. And we'd be living, in a new kingdom of heaven and a new earth right now. Israel would have had to stop their sin, their rejection of Christ the Messiah. We've talked about that a little in the past. Messiah would have had to be brought in his rule of righteousness in 39 AD. This has not happened. So the 70th week of years does not immediately follow the 69th week. In other words, it does not. And we're going to be studying more about that here in the future, but his clock stops here. It will not begin until we get to here. And there's this gap of time in between, and folks, we are living in that gap of time right now. Okay. And the 70th week does not begin. And then at the time, at the beginning of the tribulation period, then you can count on your calendar 7 years, and you can predict when the end is coming. The end's going to be there. But there's some things have to happen before that to take place. But it's very clear when it's going to happen. Okay, verse 26. Go back to Nehemiah. We're in the book of Daniel. I'm okay. I woke up this morning extremely tired. I think Nancy had been praying for me. Said, "Jim, I hope you can keep your..." I don't sleep well at night. And anyway, we're back in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. If I can get this... I guess when you get old, it's hard to turn. Nancy says, "I wish you'd stop saying... I'm trying to turn one page." Success. Okay. Verse 26. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." First part of verse 26. Okay. "After the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." The meaning here is that following the 69 weeks, it says, note the word "after." After the 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. This happened 5 days later, which is after. 5 days later, Christ was crucified. Christ was cut off. That's the date of his crucifixion. But verse 26 goes on, it says, "but not for himself." What do you think that means? He's crucified not for himself. Anybody have an idea what that could mean? Anybody want to give us an answer?
For us?
For the sins of the whole world. It wasn't his sins he died for, folks. I mean, this is prophesied in the book of Daniel. You betcha. That's right. Not for himself, not for his own fault or for his own sins. It was for others' fault, our sins, the sins of the whole world. That's why Christ was cut off. Prophesied clear back in the book of Daniel. Not for himself. Okay. Unknown to Daniel, immediately after Messiah the Prince, as Jesus Christ presents himself to the Jews as God's Messiah, God's prophetic timetable stops. This was unknown to these guys. They could not see it. They didn't see it. They all missed it. You know, we've already talked about that a little bit. There's a gap of time between this and the final week, the seven-year tribulation period. This is between these 483 years that we've covered so far up there, the 483 years, the 69 weeks, that gap, and then we're going to have the final week, the 70th week, beginning at the beginning of the tribulation. Several events are to take place during this time gap, according to 9:26, chapter 9, verse 26. Several things are going to take place. I'll go ahead and read this. We've read it once, but okay. And I'm just going to start here and in the middle of, or kind of third way down. And the people of the prince, and the people of the prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. I'm just going to stop there. Now, there are two different princes mentioned. And this, you got to keep your thinking caps on here to keep all this stuff straight. It's talking about up in verse 25, it talks about unto Messiah the Prince. Messiah the Prince, you know, Prince is capitalized there. That's referred to Christ. But now this Prince that's going to come is not capitalized. And it says he's going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who do you think that's talking about? Risa? Exactly. It's the Antichrist. So we have two different princes here in these two different verses. Totally opposites. Okay? One is coming to help and to heal and to save. The other is coming to destroy. And so, excuse me. Okay, and now there is the people of the prince that shall come, verse 26. It says, they shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who are the people of the prince that shall come? Bill, you already mentioned that.
That's the Romans. When they destroyed the second temple and the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which is also what Jesus was talking about there in Luke 19.
Yeah, it's the Romans. That's the people of the prince. The people, you know, the Antichrist comes out of Rome. It's going to be Romans. Remember, the Antichrist comes out of Rome. The people of the prince that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Daniel says Roman people of the Antichrist will destroy the city and the sanctuary. It says, and then. Moving on in this verse here, it says, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. All right. And nobody really touched on that except one guy, you know, the people that I stated on, what about this flood? And he says it means a flood of devastation. Matthew 24? Okay. In fact, I got that down here in my notes, Matthew 24:6-14. You're right. Okay. You have got an incredible mind. How can you remember all this stuff? I can't remember what I did last week, you know. So anyway, it means it'll be a flood of devastation. And apparently nobody ever mentioned, you know, it's not like a flood from a river, but it is a flood of devastation. It's just going to be swarmed with devastation. And it says, and it goes on to say, if I can find myself, and okay, right at the end of verse 26, it says, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay? What do you think it means there, the end of the war? What war?
Ezekiel 38:39, and then after that, Armageddon.
Yeah, Armageddon. Okay, you just taught about 3 weeks of lessons. Okay, one author says it should be translated unto the end, wars and desolations are determined. In other words, there's just going to be a bunch of wars, and there is. And it says, desolations are determined. Determined by who? Determined by God. Okay? God has got his timetable going. Things are going to be going according to his plan. They are today. They will be tomorrow. And there's going to be a constant desolation clear unto the end of the war, the final war, Armageddon. There's going to be wars all the way through. In other words, it will be a Holocaust beyond any Holocaust. Now, Bill's verse. Turn to Daniel or Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Verses 6 through 14. Matthew 24, 6 through 14. And who'd read that for us, please? Delbert? Okay, this is Christ speaking. So he's predicting what's going to happen. We have got 2 minutes. Can we cover 20? I'm going to go ahead and... Okay, I seen your hand go up, Trish. I thought you had a question. Okay, sorry. Rubbing her eye. I tell you what, we're down to a minute. Let's just stop here because there's some things to happen here in verse 27. No sense in butchering this 27 up. Anybody have any questions or comments about anything we've covered so far?
Part of what he's saying there, that they will deliver you up about the tribulation, you will behave all nations. We're seeing that in the news right now. And that's why I said Ezekiel 38, 39, and Psalm 83. See Iran and Syria and even Turkey calling for Israel's destruction to annihilate all Jews, even the Orthodox Jews here in the U.S. Over there in New York. And one thing people are doing this is, yes, Daniel's prophecy stopped in for right now, like you said, but 70 years ago tomorrow, May 14th, 1948, Ezekiel 36 and 37 was fulfilled when Israel was reborn as a nation. And then you have where they had to get Jerusalem back as the capital, which last year was the 50-year anniversary of as well, which both 50 and 70 are two types of Jubilee in Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Okay. Did everybody get that? Okay. Good enough. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Our time is up. So why don't we'll pick it up next time. We'll start in verse 27. So thank you for your attention this morning. We have got there's some incredible things coming in the rest of this book. And by the way, I write down, I could not believe this, but I write down when I start a lesson, teaching it. Folks, we began the book of Daniel in April of last year. We've been in this book for a year, over a year now. And maybe I'm going too slow. I hope I'm not going so slow it becomes boring. I really do. I hope that. So anyway, but there's a lot more to come. A lot of exciting stuff in this book. So let's close a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you that you let us know, Lord, what's happening in the future. And Lord, so many people don't know. They're trying to destroy Israel. Lord, your word tells us Israel will never be destroyed. They're going to be there to the end, clear through the end of the tribulation. You're going to preserve your people. And Lord, we know that's true. But Father, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to encourage us to know that your Bible, your word is true. As we see these things have been prophesied clear back before the birth of Christ, and Lord, yet they're being fulfilled today. And your timetable's going. You're still on your throne. You're in control. And Father, just help us to always realize that. And help us, Lord, to sense your presence. Help us to have a sincere desire to live for you and to do your word and do your will. And Lord, just to be growing in our Christian walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And be with Pastor, Lord, as he brings a message. Open our hearts for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.